little bit stories of Shmuel Shapira. Today I spoke with Reb Mendel, Shmuel's son, for 40 minutes. I have a lot of stories from him, but I don't know if I know. During along all the years, when Shmuel had the yearning to go to Uman, and he always had this hope in his heart that one day will come and the Iron Curtain is going to fall. Everything's going to fall, and all the Breslovers will be able to go back to it. He used to say, one day, there'll be thousands going to war. Thousands. This is the time that hardly one or two, four, ten were able to go through to the, even just across the border to Russia. At the end of his life, Shmuel started to see his prophecy coming true, that he was in the first legal trip to Uman. There were 250 people. And then he died a few months later, half a year later. 1989, before the communists fell. The last year of the communists.
People going forward.
A little bit. Yeah, the few years before, there were a few here, a few there going. They got it, yeah. It was less strict, Tafshin Mem Zayin, Tafshin Mem Ches. One of the guys said like this. One of the Mir Yeshiva, one of the Breslovers was telling a story. One of the Bachorim from Mir, he was American, and he was able to take his passport and change the picture. It was my picture in there. He said, "Today the passport, the American passport, is with it's straight on the paper. The past 10 years of it is like this, more than 10 years." It's straight on the paper.
It is scanned on.
Exactly. But beforehand, it's like the Israeli passport. There's a picture. So he was able to take it out, put it back in, seal it off with the plastic lamination that they do. The kitzu, all I had to do, he said, is to learn my new name and my new details, and so. And then, because Israeli citizens weren't able to go to the communist countries. But American citizens were able to go to the communist countries. Anyways, for years, every month he used to send his passport, this fake passport, to the Soviet consulate all over the world, 1 month there, 1 month all over the world, to get the permission to go into the communist countries, right, into the Brit Mozart, the Russian Union, what do we call it? Russian come.
Union of Socialist Republics.
That. Right? And other people, he didn't succeed for years. And other people, which had real their fake passports, it wasn't even them, they got permission, they went to Uman. I spent a lot of money, he said, that they get this. And I was at a lot of stars. I went to Shmuel, he said, and I cried, till when? Till I will have to wait. So Shmuel took my hand and told me, "Fire, one day, and we'll see it. I promise you, it will be soon. And all of Anash will go to Tzion with thousands and thousands, with no problem. Not only Anash, all of Am Yisrael will come with no problem. No one's going to bother us. Klal Yisrael," he said. "Klal Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael will come," he said. This is the time when Breslov HaChassidim was disgraced in the street. Disgrace in Mount Sharon, we're considered a disgrace. All over the world, we're considered Breslov. Ugh, Breslov, disgusting. Kaka, mamash. Mamash. And this is the time that the Soviets, they were very strong, and they didn't let anyone go through. And then he said, "Don't worry, one day, all of Amisol will come. Klal Yisrael will come." That's what he said. Today, after we know that more than 30,000 come every year, 40,000, right?
What was it last year? 70,000?
No. Less than 50. 30,000. Maybe. And there's no visas. You can go just to the Ukraine. These are the talks of someone who lived Uman in his heart, even though he was there only twice. 1986, there was a huge big bang. The Adam is called? Atom? In the Chernobyl.
Mm. Oh, Chernobyl.
Yeah. 100 kilometers from
Kiev. The nuclear disaster in Chernobyl.
Yeah, there was anyways, and the radioactive effects were around the world, not only the...
Well, it was mostly around northern Europe, all the way to Scandinavian.
That's where the wind was going, I guess.
Right.
Anyway, it was dangerous to go to Kiev or anywhere, especially for children. In those days, they were planning on doing a trip to Uman. And each one, they all had fake passports. And who was supposed to go? Anshit Fuchs. It's the son-in-law of Shmuel Shapira. He's always in Shimon Tzadik, he's a big Tzadik. Yeah. And his son, one of his children also. I actually remember he's one of the older children. He wanted to bring him to Uman, he's 4, age 7. But because of the warning of all the specialists, he didn't know, should he take his son, should he not take his son? So, Rabbi Yitzchak Weitzhandler, the son of Avram Nachman Simcha that just died, the son of the brother.
Brother,
Sticha. Yeah, he said, go ask go ask your father-in-law, Shmuel, ask him what to do. He asked him, Shmuel. Shmuel said, what? Go, of course you go with your son. By Rabbeinu, there's no risk. You go. That's what Shmuel said. Yeah, anything to do with going to Uman, Shmuel said, Mesirut Nefesh, anything, go. He gave people money. Go to Uman, anything to be there. Even if he could die on the way. Go to Uman. And many times also, it was very doubtful that if they're going to get even to Uman, they spent $5,000. In those days, not 5,000 today. 5,000 30 years ago. A lot more. Okay? You don't know if you're going to end up in jail, and you're going to end up in Sibir, and get on the... Or get to Uman, maybe, yes. And Shmuel used to push it and say, Mesirut Nefesh. He gave him all of his children and grandchildren that wanted to go, he gave them $300. He gave $300 to each one. 1988, I went to... So Yitzhak Israeli is saying this story. Rabbi Yitzhak, I know what this is, yeah. I went into... 1988, I went into Reb Shmuel to say goodbye. We're going on the way, we're trying to get in. And he was so excited. He stood from his chair, he was very, very sick at that time. He had Parkinson's for 13 years. This was the year before he died. And he came in, he said, you go to the Rebbe? You go to the Rebbe? And his eyes were like, he was shining. And until I left, he stood on the top of the staircase. He said, here, look, another Jew is going to the Rebbe. He was very excited. Even though usually Shmuel was very closed and didn't show who he was inside, when he was going to Uman, he was getting all excited. If someone else was going to Uman. Yeah. What?
It'll be interesting this year.
Yeah, they're the same. Well, the Nasanaim was just now in Uman, right? The Shabbos. He came back already? You gave a shoot at it? Yeah, very much, yes. One of the main kpadot of Shmuel had, when you go to Uman, daven, do it, boldud, cry, take advantage of every single moment in Uman. Today it's very hard, we go there, we have everything's going on, but the person has to know, do it, boldud, before we go to Uman, when he goes to the tzio, when he goes to Uman, to focus, to do what he has to do, to stay in the tzio, not, they don't have to go anywhere, where do you have to go in Uman? To eat something, you eat, kamazman, srim dakot, half an hour, 20 minutes, run back to the tzio. How long do you have to sleep? 5 hours, 6 hours a night. Yala. Spend. Kitsu. We don't have a feeling because we can go there so easily. $200, buy a ticket, go. $200, go buy now. 100 to 100. Go tomorrow. He said, by Rabbeinu you could cry on Shabbos. He said, why? Because if you're by Rabbeinu, you must be that you're happy. So you're allowed to cry out of happiness. That's what Shmuel used to say. Yeah? And besides, Shmuel always said, and not only Shmuel, God bless him, he led it to tshuva on Shabbos, a person with tshuva, and in the past 24 hours, you must do. Not that you're allowed to, it's an obligation. You say, vidui, and what you did bad, not Hashem no bagadu, but specifically, what you did wrong, what you want to do better, you must do. Only one day a year, we don't pronounce our avelos in the mouth. Which day is that? 2 days a year. And Rosh Hashanah. Because then there's mekatligim, bad forces, we're going to say, oh, you see, he's bad. What could a person do? How did he do tshuva? Anything that he didn't do right, he just davened on the positive. Let's say a person, he didn't concentrate on the davening. Okay? So then he goes, Hashem, please help me that from now on I'll daven. So just positive, just positive. Abeinu was very makpida, and Rosh Hashanah, they have only good thoughts. Because otherwise, it's mashpia on the whole year. It's known, the Ari already, the thoughts, how much they have koach. Look, we daven in we put on tefillin every day. The davening before putting on tefillin, it says that we should have holy thoughts. Rabbeinu says, I saw Rabbah was saying it, then I saw Nikutei Moran explicitly. Good thoughts is Yetzer Tov, bad thoughts is Yetzer Ra. Nikutei Moran. I don't remember which Torah I have written down, I wrote it down where it says it. I have it in my notes. Good thoughts, Yetzer Tov, bad thoughts, Yetzer Ra. So anything which causes you to feel away from Hashem, not to do what Hashem wants you to do, is Yetzer Ra. Even if it's the holiest thought. That is Yetzer Ra. Okay? Yetzer Tov is a thought that causes you to feel close to Hashem. Causes you to do. If right now the Yetzer Tov is telling you, right, you have a thought in your head which tells you ignore everything and just start learning, even though you're the worst Aveil in the world, that's the Yetzer Tov. Right now, you just sit and learn, do a daven, and afterwards you'll deal with the problem. Okay? Not to ignore it. Right now, momentarily, right now, ignore it. Do what you have to do it. And then when you have a simcha, you can take care of the problem. You can dive in and do it. Top the schedule. Oh, we have 3 minutes. Baruch Hashem. Rav Shmuel once said, they asked Rav Shmuel, what happens if we go to Uman and there's no mikvah and the river is frozen and in order to go and you have to break the ice, could we go in without going to the mikvah? Because it's famous, it's known by Breslev that before you go to the tzion, you go to the mikvah. Don't go to the tzion without going to the mikvah. Right? Or should we go in or should we not go in? Should we go into the sea without going to mikveh or no? What? Dangerous, or they don't have how to break the ice. It's a bit cold there in the winter, you know, the ice is thick. You can go with a horse and wagon over it. That's what they used to do. So Shmuel closed his eyes and then he says, Uma! You want something else to sleep to. You want to sleep to. Meaning, mikveh, no mikveh. You get to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is a mikveh.